Would you join me in our opening prayer? Faithful God, your promises stand unshaken through all generations. Renew us in hope that we may be awake and alert, watching for the glorious return of Jesus Christ, our Judge and Savior, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Now may we continue in prayer, the prayer of illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. This morning's Old Testament lesson comes from prophet Jeremiah, chapters 33, verses 14 through 16. Hear now this reading. The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill my gracious promise with the people of Israel and Judah. In those days and at that time, I will raise up a righteous branch from David's line, who will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is what he will be called. The Lord is our righteous. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And now we continue with the gospel reading for this morning. This comes from Luke chapter 21, verses 25 through 36. Hear now. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth there will be dismay among nations in their confusion over the roaring of the sea and the surging waves. The planets and other heavenly bodies will be shaken, causing people to faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world. Then they will see the human one coming on a cloud with power and great splendor. Now when these things begin to happen, stand up straight and raise your heads, because your redemption is near. Jesus told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. In the same way, when you see these things happening, you know that God's kingdom is near. I assure you that this generation won't pass away until everything has happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will certainly not pass away. Take care that your hearts aren't dulled by drinking parties, drunkenness, and the anxieties of day-to-day life. Don't let that day fall upon you unexpectedly like a trap. It will come upon everyone who lives on the face of the whole earth. Stay alert at all times, praying that you are strong enough to escape everything that is about to happen and to stand before the human one. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, and for the word of God within us.
Thanks
be to God. For the word of God in Scripture, and for the word of God among us, and for the word of God within us. I heard this response to Scripture for the first time at our clergy retreat a couple months ago. I loved it because I've always had a bit of an uneasiness around the idea that I typically hear, these phrases of, this is the word of the Lord, or the word of God for the people of God. And ultimately, there's nothing wrong with these responses. When I take the time to plow through the rhetoric of these statements, I can get on board with what they stand for. But for me, the problem arises when the plowing is not done, and when these statements are taken at face value. When texts from the Bible are read and these responses are given, and we, the people, are left to say, this is the word of the Lord, thanks be to God. Because who can argue with the word of the Lord? I get a sense of uneasiness because often I find when I read Scripture, I wrestle with it. Again, it's not the specific statements that I have problems with, rather these perceived notions. This notion that if this is the word of the Lord and I can't wrestle with it, well, then that's the ultimate truth. The Bible is the ultimate truth, and it's not to be questioned. And as Christians, and especially as United Methodists, that's not the ultimate truth. That's not the ultimate revelation. But Jesus the Christ is the ultimate revelation. Thus, when I heard this response at clergy retreat, I fell in love. I thought, you know, I rarely get the opportunity to lead worship, and I even more rarely get the opportunity to plan worship, so I had to seize the opportunity and stick it in the bulletin and use it this morning. But the more and more I began to reflect on these three lines, these three statements, the more I thought, you know, what a beautiful response in light of Advent. For the Word of God in Scripture. Advent comes from the Latin word meaning arrival. In the liturgical calendar, we spend 4 weeks anticipating the arrival of the Word made flesh, the arrival of Christ the child, the arrival of Emmanuel. And our anticipation of the arrival is coupled with the expectation of salvation, of reconciliation, and of new life. Though we spend 4 weeks focusing on Advent, as Christians, we celebrate Advent year-round. We do so because throughout the Word of God and Scripture, we see an Advent theme. From the creation poem at the very beginning, we see God anticipating the arrival of all creation and God's expectation of the goodness of said creation. We see the anticipation of a people set apart by the blessing of Abram and the expectation that blessing will arrive to all the families of the earth because of it. We see the anticipation of liberation and the expectation of freedom and new life arriving apart from oppression. We see the anticipation of the arrival of a king and a kingdom with the expectation of a royal lineage secured before God and enduring forever. And from this week's Hebrew Bible text, we see the anticipation that the time is coming and the expectations of God's promise fulfilled through the arrival of a righteous branch from David's line. The arrival of one who will do what is just and right in the land. The arrival of salvation for Judah and safety for Jerusalem. The text from this first Sunday of Advent set our minds toward anticipation, but they move us to a space of expectation. We see this not only in Jeremiah's proclamation, "The time is coming," but also in Luke's declaration, "There will be signs and your redemption is near." Luke furthers the good news Jeremiah presents for Judah and Israel by incorporating a worldwide understanding of fear and foreboding, thus including his Gentile audience in the redemption story. Luke continues by building on the tree metaphor of Jeremiah as well. Jeremiah speaks of a branch from David's line. Branches take time to grow. A branch does not arrive overnight. Similarly, Luke uses a fig tree to express the slow and anticipation-filled process of tree growth. Bruce Epperly notes that the message of the fig tree is that dramatic future events are grounded in the naturalistic process at work in the present moment. The arrival of Christ will come in supernatural events, but the arrival of Christ also comes through our participation of the inbreaking of the kingdom of God. The lectionary invites us to anticipate the already not yet kingdom of God expressed in this apocalyptic text. It's not what I think of as my traditional Advent text. I don't see babies in mangers. I don't see stars and angels. This is not what I consider a traditional Advent text. And yet, in the life and ministry of Jesus Christ, we see the kingdom of God. As we celebrate Advent, we expect this kingdom and continual arrival of the cosmic Christ. In the same way Luke calls his audience to acknowledge the signs of the times, we too were called to discern the threats and hopes of the signs of our times. We are called to stay alert. Remain in the spirit of not only anticipation, but of expectation, for the time is indeed coming when heaven and earth will pass away. Yet Jesus says, "My words will certainly not pass away." With the spirit of Advent, we give thanks for the Word of God in Scripture. It's the Word of God in Scripture that assures us the kingdom of God is indeed near. So near we can see it. We can touch it. We can hear it. We can experience it. We can experience the Word of God among us. the Word of God among us is a pretty remarkable idea. Incarnation is a remarkable idea. Advent invites us to examine the continual arrival of the cosmic Christ under a 4-week microscope. We anticipate the Word of God among us, expecting the arrival of divinity amongst physicality. Richard Rohr says, we experience the cosmic Christ when the material and spiritual worlds coexist. Thus, at Christmas, we microscopically celebrate a very specific revelation, the ultimate revelation of God. In the arrival of Jesus Christ, the child, some 2,000 years ago, but on a greater scale, we celebrate the arrival of Christ some 14.5 billion years ago, when the spiritual and material came together at the very beginning of creation. We hear in John's Gospel, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was with God in the beginning. Everything came into being through the Word. And John continues, the Word became flesh and made his home among us. That is the remarkable idea of Advent. The Word of God among us is not only a remarkable idea, it has remarkable implications for us as well. And not just us as humans, but creation as a whole. We tend to see creation and subsequently salvation, for that matter, through the lens of humanity. It's a good lens because we're human. But understanding the continual arrival of the cosmic Christ calls us to acknowledge the God in whom we live and move and exist, as Paul says in Acts 17. This is the God of all creation, the God revealed in and through all creation. St. Thomas Aquinas believed creation and specifically nature to be the primary essence, or the primary essential revelation of God. If we fail to recognize the Word of God among us, how will we ever recognize the Word of God in Scripture? Said differently, if we fail to read the Bible well, how can we expect to read the second one well? If we fail to read the first one well, that being nature, how can we expect to read the second one well? Again, Luke calls us to recognize the signs and times and where the Word of God is among us. Today we begin a 4-week microscopic celebration of Advent. But the time is coming for us to celebrate Advent more than just a season. A time when we come to acknowledge the Word of God among us. A time when we move beyond fear and foreboding and acknowledge the goodness of creation. A time when we acknowledge the intermingling of spirit and matter. A time when we pause to consider the body we have been given. A time to consider matter matters to God. It matters enough and so much that God chose to create it and to even try it on. The Word of God among us is revealed, as Rohr again says, when we move toward connection, when we build bonds and bridges instead of boundaries. When we embrace the wounds and the wounded of this world with nurture and care, when we are connected and in a relationship, the us-them mentality is replaced with we. And here we experience the arrival of the cosmic Christ. The Word of God among us is revealed when the Word of God within me sees the Word of God within you. The Word of God within us. The Word of God within us may be my favorite part of this response. I have long believed in the goodness of creation, and specifically the goodness of humanity. I believe we're created out of the love of God, in the image of God, and by the grace of God. And we continue to be sustained and to move on to holiness by God's grace and the Holy Spirit within us. You are good. You are enough because the Word of God is within us. This is good news. This is radical grace. And the time is coming when all of us who believe, but not only believe, but experience this radical grace and good news, profess it to be true and spread this message. Spread this message so that people no longer live under the oppression of those who deny the Word of God within us. not only deny the Word of God, but they replace the Word of God within us with a word of fear and foreboding. They replace the Word of God within us with ideas of total depravity. They replace the idea of the Word of God within us with shame and guilt. In acknowledging the word of God within us, I love the words of St. Irenaeus from the early second century, mid-second century. The glory of God is found in a human being fully alive. Hear that again. The glory of God is found in a human being fully alive. I love these words as we enter Advent. When we take time to pause and consider what it means to be a human being, when we anticipate the arrival of the Christ child, one can only imagine the feeling of anticipation Mary felt. Who will my child grow up to be? What will he be like? What kind of parents will we be to him? Will he be healthy? And if these are some of the questions that probably ran through Mary's head, you can only imagine the kind of questions Joseph had. Very human questions. Often we get in the season of Advent and forget the humanity of it. I love this because it calls us to the ordinary in the midst of the extraordinary. I'm sure Mary and Joseph experienced the same anxiety all parents do as they anticipate giving birth. Then when the time came, expectation replaced anticipation as their son entered the world, and the glory of God was found in two parents being fully alive as they stared at the miracle before them. The glory of God is found in a human being fully alive because the Word of God is within us. And when we live into the grace God gives us, when we live into the potential with which God has created us, when we live as fully alive human beings, God is glorified. And this has implications for all of creation, not just humanity. When we live fully alive because of the Word of God within us, we no longer give power to the ego. We no longer elevate ourselves at the expense of others. We recognize our connection to the rest of creation, and we mourn when creation mourns. The Word of God among us calls us and empowers us to do what is just and right in the land. The Word of God among us nurtures us and calls us and empowers us to nurture as well. Though the Word of God within us is my favorite part of this saying, it is also the most difficult part of this response. I can think through and I can wrestle with the idea of the Word of God in Scripture. I can read a book about it. I can intellectualize it all day long. And occasionally, I can actually experience God in that as well, right? That's the hope. I had a professor in seminary say, when we read Scripture, we don't just read it, but it reads us back. And that's what makes Scripture sacred. I can get that. And the Word of God among us, I can get as well. Because when I look at people, when I look out at what our church does, at the people in our church do, I can look at those people and say, clearly, the Word of God is among us. Even in the midst of the chaos, I can look outward and say, the Word of God is among us. But the Word of God within us, well, that causes me, I have to stop and look inward. I can't read a book about it. I can. But the Word of God within us is way more than just information. It's about transformation. Not many books provide transformation. I have to look inside to discover the Word of God within us. I have to come to terms with my experience or lack thereof with God. And at Advent, This is what we do. We pause to anticipate, to expect the arrival of the cosmic Christ within us. The time is coming, and indeed is here, when you will encounter the cosmic Christ. The question is, how will you prepare for this arrival?